Senator Dick Durbin is joining us this morning. Senator, how have you been?
I'm good, Tom. How are you?
Good. And I know you're about to get very, you've been busy at home, but you're about to get busy really when you get back to Washington. Reading some of your comments as you were in the St. Louis region yesterday morning, talking about your priorities when you return next week. And of course, the Senate is introducing a new $1.3 trillion to be debated when it comes to COVID-19 assistance. You've been talking about your priorities when you go back to Washington.
Well, of course, and it starts with families out of work. I mean, struggling to keep the lights on and to make sure that the rent and mortgage payments are there. And we're going to have the federal unemployment program, $600 a week over the state unemployment program, expires. It ends July 31st. Well, nobody believes that this economy is back on its feet by July 31st. So we've got to be there for these families. Maybe a different approach. But, you know, when it comes to the bottom line, we've got to make sure they have the resources they need to get through this.
Senator McConnell saying this new piece of legislation the Republicans are presenting must have, and it's not anything's going anywhere until there are protections in there when involving lawsuits, including hospitals and businesses.
Here's what it gets down to, Tom, and I've talked to major business leaders from all over the United States, the ones that are truly want to do the right thing, and I think that's most of them. They basically say, Senator, what's the standard? What are the rules? What do you want us to do at a convenience store? What is the right thing to do? Give us something to live by so that if anybody says, hey, you didn't do a good job at your convenience store, your gas station, whatever it is, you can say, wait a minute, here's proof positive. Here's the rule. Here's what I did. I complied with it. At that point, I'm, you know, practicing lawyer decades ago, you're off the hook. You have shown that you're reasonably responding. But at the moment, we don't have those standards. Senator McConnell just basically wants immunity. I'm not buying that. We got to make sure everybody takes this seriously. And if they live up to reasonable standards, they shouldn't have to worry about being harassed in court.
And I think a lot of people, whether it's a school or whether it's a business, whether it's a manufacturing, the ability to show due diligence is the line you want to draw.
Absolutely. You know, causation is a tough thing to start with. This virus is invisible. You don't know where you caught it. Maybe contact tracing will give you a better clue. But when you talk about what are you going to do at the school, what are you going to do at the store for the employees and the customers, what are you going to do at the meat processing plant or the poultry processing plant? What I want to see from either OSHA or for the Centers for Disease Control, here are the things we expect. And if you do those things, okay, we're good with you. But, you know, this notion that I can ignore everything and ignore all the realities of protecting people, you know, you're going to face some responsibility. All of us face responsibility in this.
It's interesting because early on, the state of Illinois had set up rules based that if you tested COVID for 19, it was automatically workers' comp.
Well, you know, I can't tell exactly how that's going to play out. We're really early in the conversation about that. But I don't want to upset the workers' compensation laws across Illinois and across the United States of America. There's a body of law established there over decades and decades. And this is a new one. This is a new, challenge with this virus. But let's make sure at the end of the day we don't have Mitch McConnell or somebody say we're going to create no standards or a new federal standard. Let's make sure we have something that makes sense.
$1.3 trillion enough, Senator?
No. It isn't enough, and the reason why it isn't is state and local governments. We have some money flowing through. You and I talked about that a little earlier. We have some money flowing through, but when it comes to states, for example, they're really getting hurt. Sales tax revenues are down, as well as expenses going up to deal with this this COVID-19 situation. So I think that has to be part of it. But it's unemployment. It's help for the small businesses. It's health insurance. If you had health insurance where you used to work and you just lost your job, they say, oh, listen, you can use COBRA. You can pay both sides of it, the employers and the employees side of it, and keep your health insurance. You know what that runs on average, Tom? $1,700 a month.
Yes.
$1,700 a month. And people can't pay it. So the bill that passed the House that I support, and I hope McConnell includes this, says the federal government will pick up both sides of it until we get out of this mess. We've got to have health insurance for people to get through this. God forbid they end up in hospital and seriously ill. It would bankrupt them, take every penny they ever made, take their homes away. We don't want that to happen.
And one of your priorities that you mentioned in a press conference, I believe, held yesterday in East St. Louis, was a sponsoring on police reform legislation co-sponsored by Booker and Harris. And number one, ban the chokehold.
Listen, we saw it in real time. 8 minutes, 46 seconds, George Floyd lost his life with a knee to the neck. That's just got to end. Some states have already stepped up and banned it long ago. We should do it on a national basis, with one exception. If you're fighting for your life as a law enforcement officer, you know, there are no restrictions here. Get out of that alive. But when it comes to this situation, that man had handcuffs on. He was on the ground, face down, and they ended up basically taking his life, you know, and that just shouldn't be. Most police departments across the United States are putting an end to this once and for all.
All right. Now, it's interesting because you had been speaking about this and saying, look, when we go back to Washington, we've got these issues, and we just talked about this COVID-19 legislation, but also that you wanted to be able to address more for communities of color. What is your opinion of how that would happen, and also the role that Black Lives Matter had played in this new decision-making?
Well, I can tell you that video and videos in general are opening our eyes to the reality of misconduct in law enforcement. I've said it before. I want to make sure I say it clearly here. The vast majority of women and men who strap that badge on every morning and risk their lives for us are good people, humane people. They are civic-minded people. They are not racist. But within their ranks, there are some who are, period. We need the good cops to stand up with us and clean up the mess that we've seen in those videos. And I've been talking this morning. I'm meeting with the head of the police chiefs in Illinois. I went over a training facility to meet with sheriffs and chiefs of police in Decatur just last week. I'm doing my darndest to reach out to the men and women in uniform. I want them to know that I'm on their side to get this done the right way, to make sure we have safe neighborhoods and that the men and women who are doing this right are not dishonored. They shouldn't be. But they got to stick with us and when it comes to recruitment and training and policing their ranks of those people who are abusing it.
Earlier, you heard the senator reference to a small conversation we had before we went on the air this morning, and I was sharing information that I had received from the Office of Financial Management, the DCEOE, on federal assistance due to the state of Illinois. There is a JCAR meeting today that is going to be looking over the rules for distribution of money. I think a lot of people are going to be watching this very closely, especially on the municipal level. According to my sources, including the Illinois Municipal League Executive Director Brad Cole, saying that they are shortening the period of time in which the money from the federal government can be spent in these municipalities, and also shortening the list of items that it can be spent on, saying hypothetically, if you've got X number of $50,000 and you want to create an account for, you know, Millersville that you can help small businesses with, that wouldn't be accepted. Now, I'm not sure how this is going to come out when the JCAR meets today, but I got to tell you, Senator, when I look at the figures for the distribution of the money, you see Alexander County, $146,531. Hardin County, $104,000. You look at some of the municipalities, and they are large sums of money. Carbondale, $1,068,536 under this percentage here. I mean, you can run over and take a look at, let's just take a look at Marion real quick. Marion, $709,264. There's a couple of items. Good money, right? A lot of money. Very helpful strategic time. But the fact that these states and counties and municipalities haven't received the money yet, I find a little discouraging.
Well, some of it, I don't know when it was sent from Washington, how long it's been here. But let me say at the outset, you mentioned the name of Brad Cole. We both know him well. Former mayor of Carbondale. And Brad and I were on the opposite sides politically. But I have really come to respect him as executive director of the Municipal League. You know, he really gives good advice and good observation. If Brad says there's a hardship on these towns and cities to counties to respond in a timely way and take advantage of what's available, I want to hear him out. I really do respect him. And if there's a way I can appeal to the governor to make sure this process is fair and to make sure that communities that really are struggling, and a lot of them are, get their fair share of funds, that's what it's all about.
Yeah, I think there's we focus on this, and I think interesting to see how JCAR rules on this today. Brad Cole was very confident, but returning the money to the state is something that people say, well, you know, why does the state need it? Are they trying to bail themselves out with the money meant for lower levels? And I think that's a question that is for another day. Now, here's a question. Can the kids go back to school safely?
Well, I don't know the answer to that, but I will tell you this. I disagree with the President of the United States, who is basically mandating that the schools reopen and saying he'll cut off federal funds if they don't. He said that publicly. Betsy DeVos, the Secretary of Education, has repeated it. And I want to tell you that is just flat out wrong. The presidential mandate taking away the authority of local school boards and teachers and families to decide what's safe for their kids is flat out wrong. First things first, we want kids back in school safely. Underline safely. And that means that they have to do some things, change the way they're teaching, change the classroom, the social distancing, masks when necessary. I mean, all these things are part of it. And the president can't make this across the board and say, that's it, everybody back in school. The medical experts and the ones that I pay attention to and respect understand that some kids may not die from this, but they may bring it home, and it may affect other generations that are in the household. Also, some of the things that are coming out now are very, very unusual, Tom, and we're trying to make sure that there are aspects of this virus and its impact on patients, adult and children, that are taken into consideration. Let this decision be made locally when it comes to the safety of the schools and the safety of the students.
Interesting study. German, they say it is the largest study on school children. They've returned to school in some of their districts. Counterintuitive, Senator, when they said yesterday that children act as a brake on infection spread. And that's not been my experience with young kids.
Not mine either. I mean, how many times do you send those little kids or grandkids off to school and they bring home everything?
Right.
Pass it around the house. But I'm open to real scientific and medical evidence. I don't want notions and folklore. I want real medicine, real health decisions, and I'll be guided by that. I've tried to stick with that throughout this. And many times it's not the popular position, but I think it's the right position.
Well, were you surprised Lindsey Graham saying Mueller testify in front of the Senate next week?
You know, Dianne Feinstein asked for that several weeks ago, and I know Lindsey, and we've worked on a lot of things together, still do. There is some concern as to whether Mr. Mueller is in a position where he can testify. I don't want to go much further in what I'm saying here, but I want to make sure that if he is prepared to testify, it's in his best interest and the best interest of this country.
We got some listeners that have sent in some questions this morning on the American Monument text line. We were referencing policing reform and items, and a simple question from a former military man here that says, has the senator gone on a ride-along with police lately?
Well, not lately, I haven't. I've done it in the past, and I asked him to take me up to some of the most dangerous sections of Chicago where the gun violence is taking place and that you can see the drug deals on the corner. I mean, I've been out there and I've seen it, but I haven't done a ride-along lately. I'll be honest with you, Tom. Some communities say, we love you, we're glad to talk to you, but we got an insurance issue when we put you in the back seat of the car there. And so there is some reservation about letting elected officials ride along. But when I did, I learned a lot.
Yeah, me too. I'm not accused of putting on a bulletproof vest to go to work.
Yeah. Let me tell you, that really opens your eyes. And as I said at the outset, these men and women risk their lives every single day for us. We just had a shooting up in Springfield a couple weeks ago, a minute 30 seconds after it was reported to police. One of the policemen showed up on the scene ready to risk his life to save the employees there. That's what it's all about. We've got to have somebody on the other end of the line when we dial 911.
Brian from Carterville asked the question, Senator, is it time to shift school funding to homeschooling?
Well, it is allowed. I don't know the current state of the law in Illinois. It evolves. And people do make that decision. And for some kids, it's the right decision. You know, if you have a parent who really is up to the task, and a lot of parents around America are starting to discover that teaching is a big job as they're trying to take it over at home now. If you have parents that are up to the task, you know, I can see the circumstance where it's absolutely the right thing to do. But generally, we're still going to need to have public schools and private schools available to families across America.
Last question for the day. From one of our listeners, they were asking about cancel culture. You know, and I think it's interesting because we can use this as, Goya Foods. The guy comes out, he donates 200,000 tons, I think it was, 200,000 pounds of food. And he says, I'm in favor of the president, I support him. And people suddenly go, well, we're going to start they call them now boycotts. We're not going to buy your product anymore. We're going to start boycotting your product. And the owner of the company says, you're trying to suppress my free speech. Cancel culture. What do you think, Senator?
Well, I tell you, we have a right as Americans to speak our mind, to assemble, to practice our religion. We have health issues now, and I want to make sure that's clear. And when it comes to our jobs as consumers, we have a right to decide as to what we're going to buy and why we're going to buy it, whether it's the quality of product of the company. If it's a good local company that's doing good things, you can see them, sponsoring things that are important to your community, and you want to support them, you make that conscious decision. The opposite is also true, Tom. I mean, it is a matter of your choice as a citizen as to where you spend your dollars. And if you happen to be for the president, you may go out of your way to buy that product. And if you're against the president, you may go out of your way not to buy it. But that's part of our freedom, as I see it.
All right, I kept you longer than I would, but I asked this question before, but I have had probably 10 people text me this question. I want them to hear your answer again because you answered in a different time slot on the show. What is the senator's stance on defunding the police?
Oh, I'm against defunding the police, and I want to make it clear, as I said earlier, when I dial 911, I want somebody on the other end to answer. And time and again, I've seen people in uniform, men and women, badges on, guns in hand, showing up in scenes and risking their lives for me, and you bet I want them there. And the vast majority of men and women in law enforcement are good, conscientious, humane, civic-minded. Having said that, though, we're calling on the police to do everything now. They are trying to diagnose mental illness. They're trying to make decisions that really go way beyond their training. And so if you're saying put more money into counseling, mental health issues, you bet. I wouldn't take it away from the basic police function, but we need to put in law enforcement the professionals that really can respond to the unique situations that police are thrown into.
Senator, I kept you longer than I said I would, and I want to thank you for your time. You have a final statement before I let you go. There's so much on the plate. You got any thoughts?
Well, there's a lot on the plate. We've got some work to do in Washington, but the bottom line is we return next week for 3 weeks, and we've got to get this unemployment squared away so that families that are facing unemployment right now and layoffs have peace of mind that at least to the end of this year and beyond, there's going to be bread on the table. I mean, we got to stick with the families that are struggling through this economy, number one.